Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another exciting edition of The Pit Stop. I'm your host, Postmaster Jones, welcoming you in on this fine Monday evening, a beautiful Monday evening. What gorgeous weather we had out there today in the L.A., a.k.a. Louisville area. A nice 70-something degree day, just great, great weather. And, of course, just like the lovely Ohio Valley, the bottom likes to drop out on us, and we will have some 50-degree temperatures over the next couple days. It looks like it's going to warm up into the 60s again for the weekend. So spring is closing in. Spring is here. How you been? Glad to be back with you here talking a little NASCAR, recapping the week that was Phoenix and the continued dominance of one Mr. Happy Kevin Harvick, winning yet again, his second win in a row, starting off the season with back-to-back seconds and back-to-back first-place finishes. He is on fire, to say the least. He's done just about everything except sweep the first four races. It's been a dominating performance in the early going. So we'll recap the weekend that was Phoenix. Talk a little bit about the Xfinity Series race on Saturday, where Joey Logano dominates the field to win on Saturday. We'll also talk about the return of one Mr. Kurt Busch, who made his triumphant return to NASCAR this weekend, as he was off, as you know, on suspension due to the incident and the allegations with one Miss Patricia Driscoll. But he has been since the charges, no charges were filed, as we spoke about it on our show last week, our weekly Triple Threat Talk Show. No charges were filed, so NASCAR did reinstate Kurt Busch, and he did return to the track this past weekend. So, in saying that, if you got anything on your mind regarding the races this weekend, whether it be the dominating performance by Joey Logano on Saturday, another dominating performance by one Mr. Kevin Harvick on Sunday, or possibly anything else on your mind as well. Is there something, you know, Dale Jr. crashing out, Tony Stewart, another rough outing. What a tough, tough season he's having so far to start this season, to say the least. Jimmy Johnson, another little incident this past weekend. A lot to get into, so if you want to give us a call and be a part of the show, you're always welcome here on The Pit Stop at 1-347-826-9974. Once again, that's 1-347-826-9974. I'll take your calls, or you can tweet at me on Twitter, at Postmaster Jones. Tweet me your questions, and I'll read those on air for you and get those responses out to you as well. And you can also email the show, triplethreattalk11@gmail.com. So looking back on the race on Saturday, a lot of people thought it was a two-man race for the there I go again. I already wanted to call it the Nationwide Series race. I swear I'm going to put a dollar in a jar every time I say the Nationwide Series. And I'll probably have a lot of money saved by the year's end. And I know I'm not the only one that continues to call it that. But looking back on the race this past Saturday, it was a dominating performance by one Mr. Joey Logano, driving the number 22 car for Penske Motorsports in the Xfinity Series. Logano had pretty much led a dominant race. He led all but 24 laps on Saturday, if that tells you anything there. He It was his first victory, however, in the Xfinity Series since 2013, which is a bit of a surprise, considering his move to Penske a couple last year, and the many races and a lot of the races he dominated, he actually did not win. So he did win this past weekend, piloting the number 22 discount tire Ford for Roger Penske, and as his first victory since 2013 in the Xfinity Series. He led 176 of the 200 laps. He said, you know, we've been so close the last four races or so, you know, and it was finally great to get the win in the discount tire, especially being in the home area of discount tire. So he picks up the win for his sponsor in their home area. He has run, that's his second Xfinity races season. He has started from the pole from both, and he finished second in Atlanta to Kevin Harvick, and now he wins here at Phoenix International Raceway. Matt Kenseth was second. The aforementioned Kevin Harvick round was third. Austin Dillon was fourth. And Eric Jones, who is doing a marvelous, marvelous job, the Kyle Busch Motorsports prodigy, now driving a little for Joe Gibbs Racing in the Xfinity Series, rounds up the top five, his first top five of the season. A little action of note, Ty Dillon was sixth and Chase Elliott was seventh, recovering from a spin on lap 138 where Ty Dillon and Chase Elliott got into a little bit of a scuffle, and Ty Dillon chalked it up as I didn't really understand this. Ty Dillon apparently is still bitter over something that happened in a truck race a couple years ago. You know, I've heard of being mad about something or being mad at someone, but you would think time and precedence would take place here. You know, I mean, that was like how long ago, and you're still mad about it? You know, I think it's time you get over it and move on. But anyway, he did rebound to finish seventh here. Ty Dillon finished sixth. And afterwards, Ty Dillon spoke on the matter, saying, you know, quote, I feel like I owed him one after what happened. He says he'll continue to race him hard until he feels like he has payback or he gets even. And, you know, I don't think you want to mess with Mr. Chase Elliott there, Ty. I don't think that's probably what's best for business, in my opinion. You know, you know, there's rivalries in the sport all the time. You hear about, you know, Kyle Busch, Kevin Harvick, Joey Logano, Brad Keselowski, Carl Edwards. There's all kinds of rivalries that go on and on. And, you know, they come and they go and they go and they come. But to kind of hold a grudge for somebody this long, it's kind of ridiculous in my opinion. You need to kind of, in my opinion, just let that go, because that's definitely not a good thing, in my opinion. So Logano picks up the win on Saturday. The Xfinity Series moves on to Auto Club Speedway in Fontana, California, where they'll be racing on Saturday. So they're continuing the West Coast swing along with the Sprint Cup Series drivers. So that'll be that'll be this Saturday, so look forward to that. See, can Chase Elliott get his first win of the season? Will Ty Dillon pick up the win? Or will it be another Sprint Cup Series regular diving in to pick up another Xfinity Series victory? We'll find out this Sunday. Moving on to Sunday's race, kind of about the same as it has been the last couple weeks. Another dominating performance by one Mr. Kevin Harvick. He did all pretty much everything that needed to be done, starting from the pole. He was it was his 30th victory in 506 Sprint Cup Series starts, his second victory of the season, and his fourth top 10 finish of the season. It is actually his I'm trying to find this here. Pretty interesting note. It is actually his 7th victory at Phoenix International Speedway. So clearly, Harvick dominating for sure. It is his 2nd win of the season. As I said, his 7th win of his career. Harvick is the first driver now to finish in the top 2 7 consecutive times since NASCAR Hall of Famer Richard Petty did it in 1975. So that tells you what kind of role Harvick is on right now, tying a record set by the Hall of Famer Richard Petty that was set all the way back in 1975. He has 5 wins in the last 10 races. That's a pretty good average when you're batting 50% in the Sprint Cup Series. 5 wins out of the last 10 Sprint Cup Series events. Kevin Harvick, a man on fire right now. He dominated the race this past weekend, leading 225 of the 312 scheduled distance. He holds a 22-point lead over 2nd place Joey Logano. Jimmy Johnson right now 3rd in the points. Martin Truex Jr. 4th in the points. Another good run for them. A good strong start for that Furniture Row team, that single car team based out of Colorado. Definitely getting it done here in the early going and proving their mettle. That's great to see there with Truex Jr. in the 78 car. Casey Kane right now 5th in points. AJ Allmendinger, another nice surprise. For JTG Doherty Racing right now, is 6th in points. Dale Jr. Lost a little ground this past weekend. He melted the bead and blew a right rear tire and crashed into the wall hard, pretty much ending his day. He drops to 7th in the points. Ryan Newman, 8th. Brad Keselowski, 9th. And Matt Kenseth rounds out your top 10 in the point standings after Phoenix. There were 10 cautions in the race this past weekend, which is, not too abnormal for Phoenix. I know we had several debris cautions. There wasn't a lot of wrecks on Sunday. It was kind of a wide-open affair. You did have a couple, wrecks. You had, like I said, Dale Jr. melting the bead and slamming the wall hard. Tony Stewart continues to struggle. I don't know what is going on with him. He, on Sunday, actually looked like he was well on his way for his first decent finish of the season. Was running up near the top 10. Got it alongside Justin Allgaier, a little bit of hard racing going on. And he got loose, got up into the wall, crashed, was 3 laps down trying to make repairs. Later on the race, just plowed and pancaked the wall, completely destroying his Bass Pro Shop number 14 Chevy and knocking him out of the event for good. So another abysmal finish for Tony Stewart as he finishes 39th, a total of 30 laps down, because the wreck did occur on lap 282. So the biggest takeaway from this weekend's race at Phoenix clearly has to be the continued dominance of one Kevin Harvick, leading 4 times for 224 laps, pretty much out front all day. Believe it or not, he actually did not lead from the get-go. He actually dropped back a couple spots at the start of the race, but was quickly up to the front, and he didn't look back from there. And like I said, another dominating performance for him in the Jimmy John's Budweiser's Chevrolet. A couple good runs to note, to point out. Kurt Busch, in his first race back since the 3-way suspension beginning the season, with a nice top 5 finish, finishing 5th in the Haas Automation Chevrolet. he was up to second at one point. That's as far up as he got. He challenged Harvick for a little bit, but he continued, you know, a great run in his first race back in the Haas Automation Chevy for Stuart Haas Racing. It was definitely good to see him back on the track. You know, I know a lot of people are glad to have him back, and it was good to have him out there. You know, a lot of people like Kurt Busch from the standpoint of all that he's been through. People have been behind him. They've stood behind him in everything that has happened over this past year, and even in the last season, a few years back when he started to make that comeback and he signed with Stuart Haas Racing, people have been behind him more and more. So it was good to see him out there. It was good to see him run really well, you know, get that top five finish, get that confidence level, and, you know, get that good run under his belt, now head on to California. And the NASCAR community kind of surprised us. They did announce that Kurt would be allowed to run for the Chase for the Sprint Cup. And on top of also being allowed to run for the Chase for the Sprint Cup, he also is allowed, you know, wins matter for him now. So, you know, he's getting an exemption for missing those few races. They're giving him an exemption. So not only does he get an exemption for being out, but he also gets a chance to possibly make the Chase. And if he starts clocking off top fives and keeps going like he did this past Sunday and keeps up with, you know, he got fifth on Sunday. If he keeps up with all that, there's a very good possibility that Kurt Busch could, you know, miss the first three races of the season but continue, but find a way in and make the Chase. And I think that would be a good story for all if that were to happen. So it was great to see Kurt Busch back in the car on Sunday for sure. Another good run of note, Ricky Stenhouse Jr., nice 12th place finish in the Fastenal Ford. Fords, especially, I should say, the Roush Fords have been struggling mightily. You know, they were struggling last year. Carl Edwards did the best that he could with what he had. He made the Chase, but clearly you could tell that the Roush equipment wasn't up to snuff. From the first four races in, it seems to me that the Roush organization still hasn't quite got all the bugs and kinks figured out of what's going on. So, you know, that's definitely a good run for them, 12th place, a nice shot in the arm to kind of give them some confidence going forward. I know this West Coast swing can be tough on some teams, but to be able to come away with a 12th place finish is definitely a good thing for sure. Some notes from the pits on Sunday. We did have a pit road incident, so to speak. The Jackman for the JTG Doherty Racing number 47, driven by AJ Allmendinger, Michael Klein, he was just doing his routine jump off the wall during the race, and he ended up tearing his calf muscle during the middle of the race. The caution was had come out. Pit stops were happening. Klein, he left the wall as he always did, and when he landed, he knew something was wrong. Did manage to finish the stop, but it was slow, in his own words, very slow. The team found a replacement to finish out the race, and Mike said he expects to be out 6 weeks. He is not only the Jackman, but he is also the pit coach as well. So you can imagine he'll probably be utterly relentless in the gym, and I would imagine to see a full effort in rehab to get him back on the track as soon as possible. So our thoughts and well wishes are with the Jackman, Michael Klein of the JTG Doherty Racing number 47. And hopefully we can get him back out on the track as soon as possible and doing what he likes to do best, and that is coaching this number 47 pit crew to make fast pit stops for sure. Former NASCAR driver, Tyler Walker, you may have heard him. who led the police on a 150-mile-an-hour chase through three southwestern states, was rearrested on Monday after showing up 45 minutes late for a sentencing hearing. Timothy Tyler Andrew Walker, age 35, was scheduled to be sentenced in southern Utah's Washington County on Monday morning for five of the charges that were from the actual chase. But after Walker failed to show, the state judge, Eric Ludlow, issued an arrest warrant for Walker, according to Washington County's prosecutor, Rachel Shimway. When he did finally arrive, Ludlow ordered his arrest. Shimway said Walker was taken to the jail where he'd be held without bail until a rescheduling sentencing on March the 30th. The Spectrum newspaper in St. George, Utah, I would assume, reported that Terry told the judge he had spoken with his client on Sunday night and that he had expected him in court. Walker of Hermosa Beach, California, pleaded guilty in December as part of a deal with the prosecutors to avoid jail time. He was expected to get probation in return for his guilty pleas, but Shumway said it's possible Walker's arrest could result in a different sentence. So, not good news for a troubled young man going through a troubled time for sure here in the for him. So hopefully he can get that squared away, and he can get back on the track for sure. Get back on the path for and continue on and make, get himself better, get the help he needs, because that's definitely not news you want to hear. In other NASCAR-related news, a little bit of non-related news, actually, Tony Stewart is officially the new owner of the All-Star Circuit of Champions. The agreement closed this past Thursday. In addition to that, veteran racing official Don Grady was hired as the series director. Tony said he was very ecstatic that he got the deal signed and that we now own the All-Star Circuit of Champions. He's excited to have Don join the team. He is a great addition and will have the respect of the competitors and be an important piece of the long-term success of the series. And he can't wait to get the point season started in 2 weeks. Mr. Gravy, 53 years old, has been with the World of Outlaws since 1997, first as a technical inspector, and then since 2007, he's been the competition director. The next All-Star Series of Champions race is March 28th at Atomic Speedway in Waverly, Ohio. So if you're looking for any information, if you want to see the All-Star Circuit of Champions Sprint Car Series in action, go to www.allstarsprint.com to go on there, check out their racing schedule, see if they're coming to a track near you, and see if you want to check out some great sprint car action run by the one and only Mr. Tony Stewart. So that'd be good as well. And speaking of more dirt track racing, the Lucas Late Model Dirt Series is starting to kick things into high gear this coming weekend. They have the annual Indiana Icebreaker at Brownstown Speedway on Saturday night, a 50-lap event on Saturday. So the best of the best in the Dirt Late Model Racing Series will be doing battle, down and dirty in the dirt. This Saturday night. So if you're in the area, I know that's always a packed event. A lot of people do flock to Brownstown to check that out. I've been numerous of times. It is a very good, fun event. You get to see big-name dirt late model drivers like Scotty Bloomquist and Don O'Neill and the Nightmare Jimmy Owens. So if you've never been to a dirt late model race and you've kind of been on the fence, looks like the weather's going to be great for it. Like I said, if you're anywhere close by to Brownstown, Indiana, at the Jackson County Fairgrounds. You're going to want to check it out. The Lucas Late Model Dirt Series. I've always said that next to cup racing, this is like the next best form of racing to me. The late models seem to put out, you know, they weigh twice as less. They don't weigh nowhere near as much as a Sprint Cup Series car, but they put out almost as much, if not as much, as a horsepower as a Sprint Cup car. So pretty awesome, for sure, to say the least. So I'm looking forward to that, to see who can get the job done and get down and dirty in the dirt and take home the Icebreaker crown this Saturday night. NASCAR announced some changes today with their qualifying procedures. This coming across my desk just a few minutes ago. NASCAR is continuing to tweak its qualifying program, this time kind of turning at a 180-degree angle, literally. Starting at Auto Club Speedway, cars will be reversed along pit road so they don't have to back out to pull into pit road to start qualifying. NASCAR officials saying Sunday confirmed the change Sunday while at Phoenix International Raceway, saying it came at the request of the drivers by lining the cars up with their backs to the wall and not their noses. It should reduce the possibility of pit road collisions and contact, as well as make it easier for drivers to pull out at the beginning of each qualifying session. An official bulletin will be issued this coming week to all the teams. There was a inspection penalty this past weekend at Phoenix International Raceway. The number 7, Alex Bowman of Tommy Baldwin Racing, will lose 15 minutes of practice time in the opening round of practice on Friday. At Auto Club Speedway, Bowman's car did not make it out of the garage on time Sunday morning at PIR. Also, A.J. Allmendinger's number 47 JTG Doherty Racing Chevy went through inspection 4 times and is under review for a possible penalty. A NASCAR official said other issues may have been responsible for the car's inspection problems. A decision likely will come today. I haven't heard anything today or Tuesday, so more than likely we'll hear more about the A.J. Allmendinger suspension, or not to say suspension, A.J. Allmendinger penalty tomorrow, more than likely. So they do wrap up the West Coast swing this coming weekend as they wrap things up in California. There is 46 cars entered in 46 cars entered into the race this weekend. So looks like 43 will qualify, 3 will go home. As of right now, the only oddity is the number 66 J. Robinson Racing car has a to-be-announced driver. They have not announced who the driver will be in the number 66. If you recall, Mike Wallace was driving that car, and he was subsequently let go. We'll wait and see who will be behind the wheel of the number 66 J. Robinson Racing Chevrolet on Sunday. Kind of giving an early preview of the race. Obviously, with the way things have been going for Kevin Harvick, I would not be at least a bit shocked at all if he wins again this week, or is not right there in the fold to make it happen. I think we could very well possibly see Kevin Harvick win again on Sunday. If not, can't count out Joey Logano. He's been running really well this year. Brad Keselowski had a good run this past weekend. You know, the last mile and a half they had at Atlanta, you had Jimmy Johnson taking on the prize. So that's another big possibility. You could have Jimmy Johnson in the mix. You know, after he won Atlanta, he struggled for 2 weeks in a row. He crashed out at Vegas, and then he's had trouble. He had trouble this past weekend at Phoenix as well. So look for Jimmy Johnson to rebound. And it'll be interesting to see what Tony Stewart does on Sunday. He's had a very rough start, probably one of the worst starts of all of his years of racing this year with the way things have gone. He crashed out at Daytona. He had an incident, and basically at Atlanta, he didn't run very well at all at Vegas, and then he crashed out at Phoenix. So not a very good start for Tony here in the early going. But, you know, if you're a Tony Stewart fan, hang in there. You know, we've seen him do many of things over the years. And, you know, there's no reason to get down on yourself, you know, this early in the season. It's only four races in. A lot can happen between now and the end. So if you want to talk or touch about anything that we have talked about so far, feel free to do so. Give me a call on the Pit Stop Hotline. That's 347-826-9974. That's 1-347-826-9974. We can do that. Also, if you want to tweet at me, you can tweet me, and I will get back to you on air here. The number here is, or the Twitter handle is at Postmaster Jones. Or if you want to send me an email, you can do that as well. Email the show at triplethreattalk11@gmail.com. Once again, that's triplethreattalk11@gmail.com to email the show and be a part of it as well. So moving on from NASCAR talk, I know from time, this will predominantly be a NASCAR-only show, but there is other things I wanted to get to that are kind of on my mind. One of those being, of course, yesterday, last night, they released the brackets for the NCAA tournament. And to no one's surprise, though, Kentucky was your overall one seed. Your overall one seed was the Kentucky Wildcats. Coming in, you have Wisconsin also in there. Kentucky got, well, in my opinion, was a good draw for them in my eyes. I mean, they had Kansas, Notre Dame, and I believe Texas, West Virginia. A pretty good road for them going forward. Clearly, they are the favorite to win the whole spiel. Nobody is doubting that by no means. They did earn the top overall seed. I thought it was quite interesting that two Wildcats topped the field. You have Kentucky Wildcats as the overall one seed, and you have the Villanova Wildcats as the second best one seed. So you got two Wildcats leading the way. You also had the Wisconsin Badgers was the one seed, and the Duke Blue Devils was also a number one seed as well. Kind of looking ahead a little bit for the tournament. I won't give my picks just yet who I think will make the Final Four, because we'll do that on Wednesday for the weekly show of Triple Threat Talk. But just kind of looking ahead at what we could very well see. I wouldn't be shocked at all if we see a Kentucky-Kansas rematch in the Elite Eight. I think Wisconsin has a very good shot to make the Final Four. North Carolina is dangerous. They were runner-ups in the ACC tournament. They knocked off top seed in the tournament, Virginia. They knocked off Louisville, but they came up just a bit short against Notre Dame. So they're obviously dangerous. So it'll be interesting to see who comes out of the West. It could be Wisconsin. It could be Arizona. It could be North Carolina. In the East bracket, Villanova. I know a lot of people are kind of down on Villanova. They're, you know, because they play in the Big East, and people are saying, well, you know, the Big East is not, you know, a powerhouse type conference, but, you know, to go 32-2 in any conference in any year is an accomplishment, and I'm not doubting their talent. I'm not doubting how well they can be. I think they'll very well easily make it to the Sweet 16, where they could match up against the University of Louisville Cardinals. The Cardinals playing California Irvine to kick off their tournament run. But you also have Virginia in there. You have Oklahoma. And you have Northern Iowa. So that would be a good matchup. We could see Louisville versus Northern Iowa in the round of 32. That will be one heck of a ball game. And to be perfectly honest with you, I would not be the least bit shocked at all if we've seen Northern Iowa beat Louisville there and move on in the tournament. In the South bracket, of course, you got Duke as the one seed. Gonzaga, who I like a whole lot, is the two seed. Iowa State, the Cyclones, wow, look out for this squad here. They're the three seed in this bracket. They very well could be in the Final Four as well. They are an excellent basketball team. They defeated Kansas to win the Big 12 conference championship. They're coming in. They have to play University of Alabama, UAB, University of Alabama, Birmingham, and they'll actually be playing here at the Yum Center. So get a close-up look with them. You also have the Southern Methodist University and UCLA playing at the Yum Center. And you got Cincinnati and Purdue, along with UK in the winner of the Manhattan-Hampton game. So we're getting some pretty decent games here at the Yum Center for second and third round matchups for the NCAA tournament. One thing about it, if you're a Kentucky fan and you're listening to the show, if you haven't seen on TV, parking for the games is going to be a little rough. Hopefully the water will reside between now and Thursday when the tournament begins. I know a lot of people were saying that the parking lots were flooded downtown. The parking garages were flooded, so it's going to make for a little bit of an interesting go of it to get in and out and find a place to park to head down to the Yum Center for tournament play. But it'll be I have a feeling that UK should have no problems whatsoever making it on past to, you know, the Sweet 16, the Elite Eight. I don't see their biggest challenge at all, honestly, until the Elite Eight. I don't think they have to worry about much till the Elite Eight, but we shall see. You never know. That's why they play the game, as they say. So it's an interesting tournament. There's always upsets abound. There's always things that happen that you don't expect. And, you know, this year will be no different. You know, we always say, you know, you never know what's going to happen. And in a one-game playoff, anything can happen. If this was a best of seven, I would say no chance at all does any team have of beating UK. But with it being a one-and-done type deal where one game and that's all she wrote, you know, anything can happen on any given night. So if you have a take on what you think could happen in the tournament starting this week, you can let me know. That's 347-826-9974. You want to talk about that as well. Also, like I said, all the NASCAR topics that are on the table, we can touch on those as well. We talked about Kevin Harvick making it four in a row at Phoenix, and he's won two in a row this season, and he's won five out of the last 10 cup races. So utter complete dominance by one Mr. Kevin Harvick here in the early going. One other little nugget regarding the NCAA tournament that I kind of wanted to touch on. I know a lot of people, in taking a look at the brackets, saying, well, you kind of gave Duke the easier go of it than UK. I disagree. I mean, I'm looking at the tournament and looking at the way the bracket is set up. I mean, yeah, Kentucky did steamroll Kansas earlier in the year, but that was much earlier in the season. This is a lot later than – this is a lot later now. Kansas is more experienced. Yes, I get it. Kentucky's obviously more experienced too. I'm not denying that at all. I'm just saying that, you know, there is – and we talked about this on the show last week. There is a quote-unquote bias, in my opinion, when it comes to Duke, in my opinion. I think a lot of the members of the mainstream media like to claim that there's not, but when you look out there and you look at the what you see goes on, it clearly, in my eyes, is nothing. It is a bias. I will say that I was able to check out a few minutes of the I Hate Christian Laettner 30 for 30 special on last night, and it was definitely interesting, and he definitely, I guess you could say, didn't do himself any favors by wearing that Christian Laettner shirt on last night during the showing of the episode as well. So that's kind of my take on that. Switching gears a little bit, talking a little entertainment here on the show. I know the Doc, you know, with the lounge, he talks a lot of entertainment as well, but I figured I would chime in a little bit and talk about a movie, Run All Night. It stars one Mr. Liam Neeson and Ed Harris. A very interesting movie. I know it's been well advertised. You know, a lot of promos going on around it. It's definitely a good movie. I say you should go out and check it out. It's definitely worth the time. You know, I don't think Liam Neeson makes a bad movie, in my opinion. He is a BA by all means and all accounts. And in this particular movie, he definitely lives up to that as well. I mean, there's parts of the movie, you know, the parts of the movie very interesting. Some things happen that are kind of unexpected, but you know. It's an action flick, and if you want to get away and just, you know, have a good time and go to the movies, it's definitely one I recommend for you to check out for sure. I'm kind of, as I'm talking to you guys tonight, I've been keeping tabs on Monday Night Raw, obviously, and it's been interesting so far. We've had several things occur. You had the confrontation between Rusev and John Cena. You had a confrontation in the beginning of Seth Rollins and Randy Orton. Seth Rollins accepting the challenge of Randy Orton to have a match at WrestleMania on the terms that he agrees to fight him tonight on Raw. So we all know what that means. I'm sure something's going to happen, and I think Randy Orton put it eloquently. He said, you know, obviously, you know that it's going to be 5-on-1, but you better make sure you take care of me tonight, because after tonight at Mania, he will end the future. That is Seth Rollins. So we'll see how that becomes of that. speaking more on the John Cena Rusev. They did sign the contract, so it is official. Rusev and John Cena for the United States Championship. So WrestleMania is almost upon us. We are 13 days away from the biggest pay-per-view in wrestling, WrestleMania 31, or as some people have put it on the Smart Marks pages, WrestleMania play button. But it's getting close. Like I said, it's 13 days away.
Excuse me.
We've already had plenty of matches announced for that. Of course, you know, several of the big ones being Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar for the championship. Obviously, the highly anticipated debut of Sting in an actual match, taking on the game Triple H. John Cena versus Rusev for the U.S. title. Randy Orton versus Seth Rollins. A ladder match for the Intercontinental title. A Tag Team Divas match. Paige and AJ Lee versus the Bella Twins. Looks like several tag teams will do battle as well. So it's shaping up to be a good WrestleMania. And let's not forget, after last week's ending, we do have Undertaker versus Bray Wyatt as well. So that will be an interesting match. It'll be interesting to see. I've heard several reports say that we will not see Undertaker until actually WrestleMania night. So that's kind of a interesting change of development. Keep him away from the audience and keep him away, you know, sight unseen until actually WrestleMania night. So that'll be interesting to see what happens there with that. Another Hall of Famer was announced tonight. It was announced that Larry Zbyszko will be the newest inductee into the WWE Hall of Fame. So, well deserved there by Mr. Zbyszko. Been around the wrestling world a long time. So it'll be interesting to see you know, if that rounds out the Hall of Fame class, or do we see more people added to the list, as we're only 13 days away from WrestleMania. So we're actually only 12 days away from the WWE Hall of Fame ceremony. So we could get one more inductee into the Hall of Fame. We shall wait and see. Obviously, the biggest name in the Hall of Fame this season would have to be Mr. Randy Savage. So it'll be, you know, obviously it'll be a very well-received Hall of Fame. Definitely a long time coming for sure, as many of people have said that the Macho Man should have been inducted years ago, and I do tend to agree with them on that point. I think the fact that it's taken this long for the Macho Man to be inducted is a bit of a travesty, but you know, a lot of that is politics, and you can't get past politics. You know, it seems to get involved in just about everything, so no surprise it gets involved with wrestling. So, if you have any thoughts on that, you can give us a call here on the Pit Stop at 347-826-9974. Once again, that's 347-826-9974. Talk about anything we've talked about so far. We got about 10 minutes left to go in the show. So, if you haven't already, one thing you can do, and you if you want to. And as a matter of fact, we actually had somebody join in late, and they're actually already past somebody in the standings. If you'd like to join the Triple Threat Talk NASCAR Fantasy League, the Pit Stop Fans and Friends, you can do that. Go to NASCAR.com and then streak to the finish and look up our team, Pit Stop Friends and Fans. There's about 6 or 7 entries right now. I am currently leading the way, but you know that can change at any moment. But if you like to sign up, it's not too late. The more people we have on, the merrier. It'd be good to have everybody on board with the with that. It's a fun league, and it's a nice way to kind of add to the you know, watching the sport of NASCAR has always been a fun thing for me, obviously, and you know, just having this fantasy game just makes it even all the more interesting, especially if, say, you have a particular rooting interest and your driver goes out, and it kind of gives you something more to root for, you know, because it's kind of like bragging rights. It's a little different in fantasy football from the standpoint of fantasy football. You obviously have one team that you like, you know, so that's a little bit different, you know, whereas in NASCAR, yeah, you may have one driver that you like, but if something happens to him, there's 42 other cars out on the track, and, you know, it makes it a little bit more more fun to watch, and it's still, you know, kind of adds to the excitement, and it gives you something more to look into, you know, so you're not just especially a lot of times, if your driver's having a rough day, you know, he may not be seen on TV, or they may not show him a lot on the television. So you need something to look at. So, you know, whereas if you are a Tony Stewart fan and you want to, and you have, say, Kevin Harvick and Joey Logano on your fantasy team, the way things have been going so far this season, you would definitely, you know, you'd have something to watch because, you know, obviously, unless he's crashing or running in the back, they're not really talking about him. They're talking about how bad he's running. So check that out if you would like. Like I said, if you want to be a part of the Fantasy League, it'd be great to have you on board for sure. More, just a few other small nuggets of note to kind of pass along. I'd just like to send my congratulations out to my high school alma mater, the Fern Creek Tigers, for winning the state high school wrestling championship. So good job, guys. Not often I get to gloat about my high school winning a championship about something. So pretty cool to see them pick up the championship in state wrestling for sure. Good stuff there as always. So this week, as I said, we wrap up the West Coast swing. You had, you know, you started out in Vegas. I went to Phoenix this past weekend, and now we're heading to Auto Club Speedway. I do love the schedule change, to touch on that for a bit. You know, last year, a lot of times they would go and they would run Daytona, and then they would run a race or two, come back, run Bristol, and then go back out and run another West Coast race. This way it makes a lot more sense. Although I'm not sure if Atlanta won't end up on the chopping block. And I don't blame Atlanta. It's not Atlanta's fault that, you know, they move the race and they get crummy weather and, you know, they're getting penalized for it. That's not Atlanta's fault. But it just seems like that the first race after Daytona, no matter what it is, when it comes to being a southeastern race, other than a race in Florida, it kind of get snake bitten. I know one of the things I think would make a lot of sense, and I don't blame Homestead for not wanting to do it, but, you know, before you take the West Coast swing, you know, maybe you think about making the second race of the season Homestead, or if you really wanted to make it a true West Coast swing. I mean, yeah, I know 3 weeks in a row is good, but why not after Tony head on over to Texas and do Texas as the second race of the season? I think that makes a lot of sense as well. You know, maybe switch the dates of Texas and Atlanta around. They're owned by the same corporation. That's a possibility that could be done. You know, they're always trying to tweak things to make things better. And I do agree with that. There are changes that need to be made. And maybe at moving the second race out west might be the best way to go. As I said, what best way to kick off the season in Daytona? You're in Daytona for like 2 weeks for Speed Weeks. And then you come right back and you have basically a four-race swing to the west. You start at Texas, then go to Vegas, then to Phoenix, then to California. Yeah, it's a long ways. A lot of travel time away from the families and the friends. But it kind of cuts down on expenses because you're kind of going in a row. You're staying in an area. And then you can come back and do Atlanta, Bristol, Martinsville, and then continue on with your schedule. That's kind of my take on it. I mean, I know it's an ever-changing situation, and will they make a change after one season? I doubt it. I think they'll give this a couple season try. I don't think changing it because of, you know, bad weather and one bad weekend of weather is really going to matter much. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see where they go from here. And it'll be interesting to see how the season as a whole this year goes. I mean, like I said, Kevin Harvick, with total domination here in the early going, you know, leading the point standings, winning two out of the four races, finishing second in the other two races. Clearly, the man to beat this year, again, looks like in the early going, backing up his awesome run from the chase last season. And, you know, winning the championship last year in his first season for Stuart Haas Racing. And coming right back to what is now an epic start to the season, this season. You know, could he very well easily had another win? I think so. I think if they would have let him race out at Daytona instead of causing the caution to the checker when the wreck was occurring behind them, we could have seen another victory for Harvick. So he very well easily could have won three of the four races so far this season. So will he continue his winning ways this week at California? We will find out. He is my pick for the race. I just think he's too hard to pick against. I think with the way he's been when running so far this season, why not? So I'm going to stay with the hot hand. I'll pick Harvick to win in California. If you want somebody, I wouldn't consider him a dark horse with the way he's running because he is up there in the point standings. But I will say I'll take Martin Truex Jr. as kind of a second pick for California with the way he's run so far this season. So give me Kevin Harvick to win this Sunday and continue that hot streak as the way it has been so far this NASCAR season. Hope you enjoyed the show tonight, folks. It's been a pleasure bringing it to you here on Triple Threat Talk Blog Talk Radio. So for all my good pals here along the network, the Doc Gary Hockard, our good buddy Pauline from Fever Keeps It Real, and everybody behind the scenes at Triple Threat Talk that helps make our shows run and go, this is Postmaster Jones saying good night, everybody. We'll see you next week for the pit stop, and we'll see you on Wednesday for our weekly show. So long, everybody. Good night.